Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
There is a dire need in our country today for godly fathers. Let me illustrate for you. As you think about the dire need for godly fathers, approximately 24.7 million children, that's 36% of all children everywhere, live absent from their biological fathers. There's a dire need for fathers to step up and be the kind of godly fathers that they need to be. There are 17 million children living with single mothers, without a father figure, without a godly role model or a role model to follow in this life. And then, of course, 1.25 million or 32% of all births are out of wedlock. Where's the father? God wants the home to be designed with father and mother. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and in that union is where the family thrives the best. It's where children are brought up to honor and know God and live a life that glorifies Him. And so today, we want to think about seven godly role models from the Bible. Godly fathers in Scripture who will encourage and help us as fathers to be the kind of people God wants us to be. What's the first? Open your Bible with me to Genesis chapter 6. The first godly father that we come across in Scripture is a man by the name of Noah. And as a godly father, Noah emphasizes the need for fathers to be prepared and to prepare their families. You remember the history in the days of Noah? The Bible says that the days of Noah had become very evil. Men and women, they were doing ungodly things. They had their hearts set on evil. Eat, drink, and be merry had become their philosophy. And so God said, I've had enough. The end of all flesh is before me, God said. But look at that great man Noah, Genesis 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes, or in the presence, or eyes, of the Lord. In the midst of a world of wickedness, there was a father who stood out, and that was Noah. Why did Noah stand out? Because Noah himself was a righteous man. Look in Genesis 6, verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Oh, how we need more fathers who will walk with God, who are seen as that godly role model, that godly father figure that children and the family can follow. But you know what makes Noah stand out so much? Noah was a prepared man who prepared his family. And what a great compliment it is to Noah when Noah and all his children and their family get on the ark. Look in your Bible in Genesis chapter 7. And here's the greatest compliment that we can give to Noah and his family and all the things that we know about them. Look in Genesis 7 in verse 13. The rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says in Genesis 7 verse 12. And here is that prepared father and his family. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. What do we know about Noah? Noah was a prepared man. He spent his life following after God. He first of all prepared himself to walk with God, to be a godly man, to be a man of God's Word, to be a man of prayer, and to listen and obey God. And then Noah not only prepared himself, he prepared that great ark, but the greatest thing he prepared was his family. Noah prepared his family to get on the ark. Fathers, listen carefully this morning. Your responsibility, above all else, is to prepare your children for the other side. Education might be important. Where you live and how well they're provided for in this life, that's all good and well. But the greatest preparation you'll make as a father is to prepare your children for the other side. What are you doing in this life to prepare them for eternity. There's a day coming when all of us will leave this earth. What are we as fathers leaving behind so that our children can see and follow to that heavenly home? And so who's the first godly role model? Noah. He was a man who emphasizes how fathers need to be prepared. Look then in your Bible, if you would, to Genesis chapter 18. And we learn about a second godly father by the name of Abraham. And Abraham emphasizes to godly fathers the need to give instruction to our children. This is one of the greatest compliments a father can receive, and it came from the Heavenly Father. Look at what God said about Abraham. Genesis 18, look in verse 19. God said, "For I know him, I've known Abraham." And look at what he says. "In order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he's spoken to him." What did God say about Abraham? "I know Abraham." What do you know about him, God? "He will command his children after him." Friend, as a father, we today are responsible to instruct and to teach. Now, we're not saying we're going to force. That's not the idea. Ephesians 6 says, "Bring up your children, train up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." But as a father, I'm responsible to set the tone for the family. I'm responsible to command, to teach, to instruct my children. What am I to instruct? Look at the passage that was read for us this morning. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6 with me. And I want you to notice what Paul says. We as fathers are responsible to instruct. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Notice verses 1 through 4 with me. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." As a father, I'm responsible to train. I'm responsible to instruct. Instruct what? In the Word and the will of God. Friend, how long has it been since you've sat down and taught your children about God, about the morals that they ought to have, about the choices that they need to make, about God's teaching and God's plan? If my children are going to learn about God and go to heaven and learn His way, I'm responsible to teach them that. But the responsibility falls squarely on my shoulders and on yours as a father. And God said, "I know Abraham. He'll command his children." Can God say that of me and you? Third godly father found in the book of Job. Open to Job chapter 1. And Job emphasizes, as a godly father, his desire for his children's destination. Job had a spiritual concern for his children. Look in Job chapter 1 with me, and I want you to notice what is emphasized about Job. Job was a great father and a great man. And look at what it says in Job chapter 1. Look beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him." Goes on to tell about his possessions. Look down in verse 4. "And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course," watch what Job does, "that Job would send and sanctify them. He would rise early in the morning, offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all." And watch what he says. "For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did regularly." What do we know about Job? Job, as a father, had his children's destination in mind. Job said, "I want my children to go to heaven. They've been having fun. They've been having a party. They've been out living the good life, we might say. They've been enjoying their company and each other. And Job said, just in case there's a chance they've sinned, I'm going to offer sacrifice for them. Maybe they've sinned and cursed God in their heart. Maybe something's happened and they've got off the right track. And notice that last statement. Thus Job did what? Regularly. Job was regularly concerned about the spiritual destination of his children. Fathers, if you're going to be the godly father you need to be, don't just think in this life. Don't say to yourself, what are my children going to be when they grow up? Or how can I help them to have the most of this or the best of that? Or think about it in these terms. What can I do as a father to help them get to heaven? Job did that. And friends, if we're going to be godly fathers, we must do the same. All right, back up, if you would, to the book of Esther. Turn, if you would, to Esther chapter 2. And this morning we want to honor as well not only those who are biological fathers, but we want to honor adopted fathers. And there's no way better to do that than to honor one of the best in the Bible, Mordecai. Mordecai is highlighted as an adopted father, and he did an awesome job in training Esther. Look in your Bible in Esther chapter 2. Look at what it says in verse 5. Mordecai is a model for every adopted parent. Esther chapter 2, I want you to look in verse 5. The Bible says, in Shushan the citadel, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Kish had been carried away captive from Jerusalem with the captives who had been captured with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had brought, had carried away to Babylon. And notice, and Mordecai had brought up Hadash, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father or mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. When her father and mother died, Mordecai took care of her as his own daughter. Today, not only do we honor godly fathers in the biological sense, but thank God for every person who's willing to go that extra mile. Adopt someone, bring someone in their home, try to help give them a godly environment to live in. And friend, when I think of Mordecai and the effect he had on Esther, who had lost both her parents, a tragic situation, what does Mordecai represent? He's a man of great integrity. How do we know that? Look in chapter 4, verse 14. Now, in these days, there is an evil king. And that king has made a decree to destroy all the Jews in the land. There's one glimmer of hope, and that's Esther. But she's unsure of what she's going to do. And I want you to notice what Mordecai says. Look in Esther chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Here's the type of man he was. Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Here's a man of integrity. He wanted to do the right thing. He had trust in God that God would help. And so he says to Esther, "You get out and do the right thing. You do what God wants you to. Live up to your potential spiritually." Adopted parents have the responsibility of filling in and doing what God needs them to do. Stepping up and helping to teach those lessons that are so important. Living lives of integrity. Living lives of purpose and doing what God wants them to do in this life. But then let's turn to the New Testament. And I want you to open to Matthew chapter 1. We look at another godly father this morning, and that's Joseph. And Joseph, we might say, represents that of a stepfather. Look in Matthew chapter 1 with me. And I want you to notice what made Joseph such a great man of God. Matthew chapter 1. Look at what the Bible says, beginning in verse 19. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, look into verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took him his wife. You know, when I think about Joseph, Joseph is a father who epitomizes obedience. Friends, how we as fathers need to be seen as examples of obedience. Obedience to God. More than anything, I want my children to see in me that I want to follow God. I want to do what God says. I want to go to heaven. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, it's not everybody who just looks up into heaven and says, Lord, Lord, that's going there, but he who does the will of my Father. When I think about lessons I can leave for my children, I want them to see Dad tried to do what God said. He tried to follow the teaching of God. When it was time to worship, we were always there. When it came to giving, we wanted to give our best. When it came to taking things, religious things, seriously, he tried to follow God. Am I perfect? No, not at all. That's not what I'm saying. But as fathers, we want to be seen as trying to live a life of obedience and faithfulness to God so that our children can see that in us. All right, number six, I want you to think about a man by the name of Jairus. You remember Jairus? He was a man who came to Jesus, and Jairus is a very unique example. Jesus had been healing in Mark chapter 6 and in Luke chapter 8. He had been doing much healing. There's a woman who comes to Jesus, and she's got a flow of blood, and she just touches Jesus, and she's healed. But then this man Jairus comes to Jesus, and he approaches Jesus, and in the midst of this crowd, he comes to Jesus out of his love for his daughter, and he says, Master, I've got a daughter who's home. She's dying. If you'll just come and say the word, she'll be made well. You can hear the compassion and the tenderness in his voice. His little daughter is homesick on her deathbed. And what does this father do? Out of compassion and tenderness, he finds Jesus. He goes to her, and in any way possible, he wants Jesus to come back and save his daughter. You remember the daughter died, but Jesus did go home and raise that daughter. A great miracle was done out of that. But as fathers, do we have that compassion? Do we have that tenderness? Do we have that care and that love that we ought to have for our children? Nothing wrong with your children knowing that you love them and expressing that to them. God says, cast all your cares upon me. I care for you. And so we need that tenderness. And we need that love seen in each and every one of us. All right, last example. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 1 with me. Luke chapter 1. I want you to look at a final example of love and tenderness and obedience seen in another father. One of the great examples that we see of a godly father is that of John the Immerser's parents, his father Zacharias. Luke chapter 1. I want you to look at what the Bible says in verse 6. The Bible says of John the Immerser's parents, all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now we know John's parents weren't perfect. For the Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I make mistakes, you make mistakes, and every father in here today has made mistakes. We've all done things we wish we'd have done better. But what separates that, the person who makes mistakes, from the godly father? The godly father is blameless. What's that mean? He's not to be blamed. He may make mistakes. He may have things in his life that are not perfect, but he deals with that. He takes care of it. And surely there are lessons to be learned out of that. You can think in your own life as I do in mine. I've done things, said things that weren't the best things probably to say or do in times. We've all probably lost our temper. We've maybe done things that we think, well, you know, that wasn't the ideal situation. And you go back and you say to your children, Dad messed up. Dad maybe didn't approach it the best way. Dad needed to do this a little better. And you learn and the children learn. And friend, that's what being blameless is all about. It doesn't mean perfection, but it means we recognize our wrong and we try to make it right as far and as wide as we can, and we try to learn from those lessons. And friends, if we can imitate these godly men, how much it will help the home and the family to be what God wants it to be. But above all, today, we honor God as the greatest Father ever. Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus prayed, "Our Father who art in heaven." You know, God's the perfect Father. He gave the most. He sent His Son to die for my sins and for yours. John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God as a Father has done everything possible to prepare me and to prepare you. He's given us the Bible, the perfect guide to life. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He has commanded us how to live in this life and has taught us the best way to show our concern for Him and for others. Like Job, God is deeply concerned as a father for His children. More than anything, He wants us to go to heaven, so much so that He gave. He gave all that He had so that we could have that home in heaven. He is a Father of integrity. God will not, the judge of the earth, do rightly. And as a Father, we can look to Him as an example of righteousness and as an example of integrity in every way. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel. Maybe you've never submitted obedience to your Heavenly Father. Friend, if you really want to honor God and honor godly parents in this life, the best way you can do that is to give your life to God. Maybe as a father, you haven't lived up to these standards that God sets for us today. Friend, there's no time like the present to make that right. Maybe your children haven't seen the best example. Maybe you haven't done the things you know that you need to do. Friend, why not start fresh today? Get a new start, be the best father that you can be, and give honor to the Heavenly Father.